Hey, everybody. Welcome to Viewing Angles, the only movie podcast on the face of the earth. It's me, Dan Leo, and with me as always,
it's Robert Mecki. And we're bringing you a 3.5 hour podcast episode this week. Get hyped.
Get hyped. We're talking about a movie that's kind of gone under the radar, at least for my dad. It's called The Irishman.
Is that the only radar we're using?
Well, because I feel like it's been pretty memed. It's been pretty a lot of things on Twitter been said about it. A lot of takes.
And, but not from your dad.
No, my dad's like, I just really long. And I'm like, come on. What are you doing on like a Friday night?
Yeah.
Get a pizza. Pour yourself a beer.
Does your dad fall asleep half an hour into
The Irishman?
Fall asleep after the first act.
Yeah.
Does your dad like Robert De Niro or Joe Pesci?
Yeah, he'll like everything about this. Yeah.
Okay. What's the longest movie you think he's seen? Has he seen Watchmen?
He's probably seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know.
But even that's like just over 3 hours, isn't it?
No, I think that's like 4 hours. There's an intermission. Yeah.
I mean, they used to do intermissions in 3 hour movies, too. That's just a sign of the times.
True. Yeah. But I think Lawrence of Arabia, like I remember, it comes in two VHSs.
So did Titanic.
Truly. Yeah. So did Mad World. The point is, I think that back in the day, maybe if you're going to the movie theater on a hot like July day, you're like, I want to be in here for as long as possible.
Yeah. Back when long movies were like a value prop.
Yeah, it's like we get you the most. It's like a video game today. It's like there's hundreds of hours of content here. And they're like, we made a long movie. Yeah,
that should the tagline is just you're not going to finish this movie.
Yeah, this is so long. It came out when my dad was 5 years old.
Oh, wow. And it was. Yeah. 3 hours, 48 minutes. God damn.
That's so long.
That's a beef. That's longer than the ultimate cut of Watchmen.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's longer than the ultimate cut of a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Jeez, one day I'll see it.
Same, but not today.
Not today. So, speaking of The Irishman, I guess, we'll also be talking about the Golden Globes, where The Irishman picked up quite a few nominations, and so did a lot of other good things. But we'll get all into that as soon as we talk about the box office. And what do we get? Nothing came out this week. That's the big story here. Yeah, Frozen 2.
Did anything actually? Hang on, I'll pull up the releases for this week. But what lost this week?
Playmobil the movie, I believe.
Oh right, apparently the worst animated movie release like in history, or at least one of the worst. Yeah, I think it made like $600,000 opening weekend.
Oh really? Jeez. Yeah. That's bad news bears for them.
Yeah.
A lot of people worked on that. A lot of people probably pulled like at least one all nighter for that.
Oh yeah.
And all down the tube.
Rough. Yeah. What animation studio actually did that?
I hope it's Illumination.
I hope so too, but I know it's not because Illumination movies always make money. Oh God. Well, it was a slow weekend at the box office, but you know what animated movie?
Are you looking up that studio?
I did. I'm also trying to buy time.
Okay, deal. Yeah. The first one was Frozen 2, which made $35 million, which is still a lot of money for week what, three?
I thought it was week. Oh, maybe it is week three.
Yeah, it's week three because the first week it made like $200 million.
Well,
that's a lot of money.
What's its total? What's its global at right now?
It's global. I don't have it. It's almost at $1 billion.
God damn it. That's crazy. I still haven't seen this movie. I don't know if I'm going to see this movie. I don't think I saw the first Frozen until it made over $1 billion because I'm like, I just don't want to deal with all the dumbass kids in this kid's movie.
Yeah, honestly, it's fine. Like, the first Frozen is fine. It's got a banger of a song.
Oh, yeah.
Let It Go is great. Let It Go is a better song than the movie is a movie. So there it is.
Older friend Frozen a little bit harder than that.
It's pretty good. I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah. I just remember thinking most of the songs were catchy. I think Let It Go was, you know, the one everybody remembers the most. It's good. Idina Menzel gives a great performance in that. But I thought every song in that movie, except for whatever song they sing during the fucking troll section, was pretty catchy. I was like, oh, I'm into this. I also kind of like that Prince Charming was not Prince Charming. Like, oh, this is kind of cool. This is a little bit unexpected for a Disney movie.
Yeah, a little switcheroo.
Yeah, a little bit subversive, you know.
Yeah, can you build a snowman? That's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. And then the
although Deadpool is right that it is the same thing as like, is it like Fiddler on the Roof? Like, Papa, can you hear me? Papa.
Deadpool's insightful.
I mean, there's art and there's art. Also, and I'll leave it up to you to decide the difference.
I found out the company that did Playmobil the movie is called Method Animation. And they're a French company. Oh, so they're a knockoff Illumination Entertainment. Somebody in France was like, we could pay our employees even less than Illumination pays their employees and make more money.
Like, what toys can we make a movie out of? Playmobil. And they're like, I guess that's the bottom of the barrel. But
did you ever own a Playmobil anything growing up?
Maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
What is like a famous Playmobil toy?
I don't think there is one. Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots of this movie. I'm like, this is, you know, Playmobil's. I hate it because Playmobil's have always been like the knockoff Legos. Playmobil the movie is just the knockoff Lego movie. Like, come on,
except
guys, break
way,
break
way
the mold.
Worse.
Yeah, way worse.
Like, certain, like, you know, if you've never seen Legos before, Playmobil's will be fine. But these kids have seen movies before for sure, no matter where you've taken them.
These guys look like spherical Legos. Whatever these Playmobiles are.
Bionicles.
Yeah.
Knockoff Legos.
When are we going to get the Kinex movie? Remember Kinex?
They already made a video game called Roller Coaster Tycoon.
When are we getting the Roller Coaster Tycoon movie?
Well, we did. It's called Final Destination 3.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I would only want to see that movie to see...
to see people die. Exactly. Yeah. So they made it. Like, it was a good crossover event.
Yeah, they should have released a Final Destination DLC for Roller Coaster Tycoon. I would have bought it.
Where it makes it very gory.
Yeah.
All right. Number two is Knives Out. Still performing pretty well in its second week. $14 million. It's got a total gross of $63 million. So it beat its budget. So, hey, it made money. Worldwide, $124 million. People came to see the movie.
Yeah.
They did it. This movie's going to make like, you know, $300 million or something.
Yeah, eat a fucking dick, Last Jedi haters.
Oh, they're all burning right now.
Can't do nothing to stop this Johnson.
Can't stop the Johnson. And then number three is Ford versus Ferrari, which is doing it finally. Its domestic gross is almost as much as its budget. It's
nice.
Worldwide made $168 million. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
For an original movie about cars, it's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, I think this is going to be fine. And, you know, with the Oscar, I guess we don't know Oscar nominations yet, but I assume that it's going to get a little bit of Oscar attention.
Yeah.
Probably bump those numbers up a little bit. I didn't notice here, too, looking at this chart, Ford v Ferrari for the past 2 weeks has actually been expanding into theaters, which is pretty
cool.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting?
It added 161 theaters this week.
I wonder if that's like strong Thanksgiving vibes or something. It's not even close to Thanksgiving anymore. Yeah. Like how people are just starting to see movies.
Yeah, dads are just coming out of the woodwork being like, I haven't seen a movie in a while, but this sounds interesting.
Right. Yeah. Everyone really wants to reconnect with their dads around Christmas time. So
yeah.
Ford versus Ferrari is probably facilitating a lot of like meetups.
We're going to bridge this bond at the movies.
I hope they do have some kind of tribute to the dad movie at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, I want to see. I think we should do a list instead of doing our Oscar predictions. We just make up our own fucking the Viewing Angles Awards. And one of the categories should be Best Dad Movie of 2019.
Right. And that's probably like tough right between The Irishman and Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, those are the two front runners for sure. I'd have to go back and
or
look
Marriage
to see.
Story, depending on how you feel about your dad.
Yeah. Well, depending. Yeah. Not how you feel about your dad, but just like how that relationship, you know, played out. Although I haven't seen Marriage Story, so I don't actually know if they end up divorced or not in the end. But I know it's about divorce.
Right. No, I think he kills her in the end.
Oh, wow. That's a very Adam Driver thing to do.
Wouldn't that be like a real like left turn? It's like Noah Baumbach is like, this is the movie about my relationship.
Yeah.
And it's this real straight divorce movie until the end when he murders her.
And that's his confession. Confession on a grand scale.
Yeah. As he disappears into the ether.
Yeah. He pulls a Polanski.
Yeah. Jeez.
I wonder, do you think if you told your dad that he was like Adam Driver, would he be flattered or offended?
Like in the movie? Or just like in general?
Just in general. Like, I don't know what he's like in the movie.
Confused.
Yeah.
First, he'd probably be like, who's that? And then second, he'd be like, oh,
just tell me he's a famous Marine.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad'd be like, I'm not like that then.
Then say he's Kylo Ren. Or, Adam Driver's actually been in a lot of shit.
Right. He's probably most like the bartender from Logan Lucky.
Mm. With one arm.
And even that is a rough comparison.
The one-armed bartender?
Truly.
Yeah. Dad, you're like a cripple.
Just like it. All right. We got good news. It's Golden Globes time.
Yeah, we're going gold.
It's medium news, really. This is like, honestly, this award show doesn't mean anything. It's stupid.
Yeah, this is not unexpected either. The Golden Globes happen every year. We knew that nominations were going to come out.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, like, I don't like the Golden Globes more than I like the Oscars. I really just I like the energy of the Golden Globes when everyone's like sitting at tables, they're getting a little drunk.
Yeah.
Usually have some crazier like hosts and like antics.
Yeah.
Then the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association gets up and talks for some reason.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah. It's like, I'm old and foreign.
Yeah. Isn't Ricky Gervais hosting it this year?
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Ricky Gervais's hosting style for this because he gets mean.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like, fuck these celebrities.
Yeah, fuck everyone in this room.
Yeah, it just because that's what it's all about. He's like, everyone else is trying to play to the people in the show.
Yeah,
but no, you're playing to the people at home.
Yeah, you're playing to the fucking normies. You're playing to the poors.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I feel like he's the only one who really does that.
Exactly. You don't want Ellen getting up on there and just like laughing about how good friend she is with George W. Bush.
Yeah. You want some hardcore British fat guy humor. Yeah.
Yeah. Telling all the celebrities to fuck off.
Exactly. But let's go through some of the nominations. There's a lot of good stuff here and a lot of stuff that, you know, flew under the radar, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's a good like foretelling for what's going to be happening at the Oscars, because for better or for worse, the Oscars and the Golden Globes usually have a pretty similar nomination lineup.
Yeah. This split, though, for Best Motion Picture right up front, I always wonder what they pull from more for the Best Picture nominations at the Oscars. Like, I think it's usually drama has more overlap with Best Pictures at the Oscars.
Yeah, definitely. But ever since the Oscars now have like 10 movies, sometimes they'll throw in like a musical or a comedy.
It could be all
like the Greatest Showman.
One year they did. Wait, did Greatest Showman actually get nominated for Best Picture?
I couldn't be 100% sure.
Oh, God. I remember just the year that they nominated Toy Story 3 for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. It's like there's a whole category for this.
Although, to be fair, I also think that they should just get rid of Best Animated Pictures and just include the, you know, Best Animated Pictures in the Best Picture category, because it's a fucking, it's still a fucking movie, you know?
Right.
Or either just call it Best Kids Movie, because that's what it actually is. That's what you're categorizing like these animated films as.
Yeah, your kid's favorite movie, truly.
Yeah, sponsored by Nickelodeon.
Yeah, get slimed.
Yeah.
They should definitely like slime somebody at every Oscars. I would love that.
Yes.
But let's get into these. Starting off with Best Motion Picture Drama. And for people who don't know, the Golden Globes break things up by drama and by musical or comedy for Best Picture, for Best Actor and Actress. And that's it, actually. Everything else is just for everything. So I have no idea really why
it makes they no do it sense. This way.
It doesn't really make any sense. Like, it makes sense in the way that no awards make sense. So, yeah,
that's Hollywood, baby.
That's Hollywood, baby. All right. So for Best Picture Drama, we've got 1917, the Sam Mendes movie that apparently happens in one shot that neither of us have seen.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see
excited.
It,
I'm very excited to see it. I've heard very good things. The Irishman, which we'll be talking about later in the show. Joker, which I guess I forgot the Joker was a big deal. Is that weird? You know, like,
it made over $1 billion, man. It's still in the top 10 box office.
Right, but there are a lot of movies that made $1 billion this year that are not nominated for Best Picture, like Picture Drama. Because
this was the only good one that made $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. And then Marriage Story, and then The Two Popes.
The Two Popes was supposed to be a comedy.
I think it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I agree.
It gets worse when we get into the comedy section.
Right. I think it's more of like a loose comedy, like a dramedy. There are funny elements, but it's really about...
Oh, like Spanglish.
Yeah, exactly. Or like Sideways.
Yeah, some Alexander Payne shit.
Exactly. So who's to say? But I think this is a pretty okay list. I'm interested to see The Two Popes just because it's got two good actors in it.
Yeah, and Two Popes.
And Marriage Story, I've heard nothing but great things about.
Same.
Yeah. All right. And then Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy. This is a much more interesting slate of movies, I feel like. Like, just completely different in every way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the one for the people.
This is, yeah, the people want it. Dolomite Is My Name, the Netflix movie with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Jojo Rabbit, which Rob just saw.
I did just see Jojo Rabbit. It's fucking great.
I also saw
Dolomite Is My Name recently, too. Pretty good. Eddie Murphy still got it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to download it and then watch it at the gym.
Oh, do it.
Which is where that feels like it should be happening. And then Knives Out, the big surprise, I feel like, because Knives Out was so good, so enjoyable, and it kind of came out of nowhere in a way, like didn't get a whole lot of awards, like press. It's just like, hey, this is a very entertaining movie.
Also, Rian Johnson, like, that's kind of what he's known for. He doesn't really get a whole lot of awards attention, even though he should have had a Best Picture nomination for Last Jedi. But like Looper didn't get any award nomination. The Brothers of Bloom didn't. Brick didn't. I think Brick got a lot of indie circuit love, but nobody really paid attention to it. So of all the movies to get that type of attention, I'm surprised it's Knives Out, because I don't think it's his best movie, but I do think it's great.
Yeah, and it's a genre movie too, which is kind of surprising that it was able to get the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hilarious. Clearly,
I think that's probably like a lock for this. Do you think so?
Probably. I couldn't see anyone else winning. Although,
right, if
there is one film that I would personally choose to win over Once Upon a Time, it's Rocket Man, which is also nominated.
Yeah, Rocket Man is nominated, and I love Rocket Man.
Yeah,
I think I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a bit more. I think there's a bit more there that I'll be revisiting in the future.
That's totally
Rocket
fair.
Man is so solid.
Yeah, I've seen both movies twice now. I loved Once Upon a Time, but I think just the showmanship of Rocket Man, and maybe it's just because my expectations were set lower for Rocket Man than they were for, you know, Tarantino's ninth film. I watched Rocket Man again recently over Thanksgiving with my family, and just like as soon as the musical numbers kick in, I was like, this is the best musical we've had in years. It is so fucking good. Taron Egerton kills it.
And he's so good.
The fact that there's no lip syncing, he actually sang all of those songs.
Yeah.
And it's so well directed. Performances are great. The music is great. It's emotionally resonant. Like, man, I wish Rocket Man got as much attention as Bohemian Rhapsody.
Agreed. Yeah. It has not gotten nearly the attention. I think partly because it's rated R.
Yeah.
And also it's a little bit more explicitly gay.
Oh, so
which,
gay.
I guess people aren't into for some reason, but yeah, and it also came out like a while ago. It was like a beginning of the summer movie.
It was, it was like March or something.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah,
springtime. It was still a little bit cold in Chicago, so it could have been July, you know.
But the movie warmed my heart.
Yes, truly. And then we've got Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture, and so we've a drama version. Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, which I haven't seen.
I haven't seen either. I heard it's not actually that good.
Yeah, I heard it's fine. Also, Scarlett Johansson, for Marriage Story. Go on.
I was going to say the people don't like Cynthia Erivo. Erivo.
Why not?
Apparently, she's... I've heard a lot of people on Twitter say that she's very anti-black.
Really?
Yeah.
In a Bill Cosby way? Like, pull up your pants?
Yeah, I think very much in a Bill Cosby way. And that's why so many right-wing nut jobs were celebrating Harriet and calling it like, oh, this is the best movie of the year. It's like, oh, it's because they politically align with whatever the fuck she's spouting, which sucks because I thought she was pretty good in Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yeah,
but I knew nothing about her personal life.
And Widows.
And Widows. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's very. So I'll have to do some half-assed Twitter research after this podcast.
It just sucks that she sucks.
Yeah. Hate to see it. Speaking of people who have race issues, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. And then Saoirse Ronan for Little Women. Haven't seen yet. I hear it's pretty good.
Same.
Yeah, I definitely was under the impression that Little Women was something like the Scarlet Letter that people had to read and that it sucked. But people like Little Women.
What is Little Women about?
I don't know. I'm going to find out when I see the
it's
movie.
It's about Little Women. Did you like Lady Bird?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan. I was kind of like not really getting where the hype was coming from for this movie, but I do think that Little Women looks more enjoyable than Lady Bird. So I do want to check it out.
We'll see. I think every coming of age movie is your reaction to it is definitely dependent on how well crafted the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
But to ascend to a certain level, there has to be a deeper connection to what's going on. And I don't think I had that as much.
In Little Women or Lady Bird?
In Lady Bird. I have no idea what Little Women's about.
Yeah. I just connect with Timothy Chalamet's character in Little Women.
Yeah. In little vests. Vest boy.
His cute little vests.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm still like not entirely on the Timothy Chalamet train.
I like him. I've told this to Elmer before, but I think he's going to be the next Johnny Depp.
Have a big moment.
He's
going to
look young forever
weird.
Until he doesn't. But I also think that he's going
and
to
then
be,
he'll
cast,
be really old.
You know, cast Timothy Chalamet as Captain Jack Sparrow in the Pirates reboot. Just fucking do it. It's going to work. It'll be great.
He's so tiny. He's just like he looks like a high school boy.
Yeah, you could have that. You can make it work. Yeah. You know, just don't copy all of Jack Sparrow's mannerisms. Just, you know, have him do the high school. You know what Tom Holland did for Spider-Man versus Tobey Maguire. He was like a 30-year-old loser Spider-Man in the Sam Raimi films. He could do that for Captain Jack Sparrow. He could be the young, youthful Jack Sparrow with a bit of self-awareness.
Interesting. I bet he can't grow a beard. That would be weird for me if he grew a beard.
They could force one on him. They could put some scruff on him.
Yeah, they could figure it out.
Yeah, I do think that. I don't think he grows any body hair at all. I think he's got, what is that?
All this waxed.
Appalachia. Yeah.
Yeah. Alopecia. Yeah, for sure.
Alopecia. Speaking of alopecia.
Yeah, what? Charlize Theron in Bombshell. Who does Charlize Theron have alopecia?
She definitely does not. I was just looking for a good segue.
Good. She plays Megyn Kelly in Bombshell, and this comes out this weekend.
This movie looks like shit. I want to actively campaign against this movie.
I don't know if it looks like. I don't know what it looks like.
From the director of Austin Powers.
Right. I mean, Joker was from the director of The Hangover Part 3.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Jed Roach hasn't done a good movie since the first Austin Powers.
True.
Also,
I would have argued that Todd Phillips hadn't done a good movie since the first Hangover. Before he made that.
Due Date has its moments. But yeah, totally, totally fair. This the thing about this movie, though, is who the fuck is this appealing to?
Women, probably.
Is it
an all-female cast? It's like the biggest.
Is it, though? Because like
Fox, the biggest actresses in the game.
Fox News hates women. Like, this is not news. This is not a revelation.
Right, but it's about women in an organization rampant with sexual harassment issues, them fighting the power and Fox News trying to fight back. It's kind of like a legal thriller, like The Insider or something, you know? I think so. I think that's what the pitch is.
I mean, I think maybe that is what the pitch is, but it's just it's going to be hard to sympathize with any of these characters. Like, even if fat old Rupert Murdoch did that, touched you in the wrong way, which is pretty clear that he did, I don't really feel that bad for these women because they're all pieces of shit. Like, fuck these women. Fuck these people.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. No, I mean, they are a part of the greatest propaganda machine in like the history of the world. Yeah.
And like this, they didn't change their political viewpoints or like what they were telling their audiences after the assault went down.
True.
I don't know, man. This movie,
I'm interested to see how this all comes together, because I think you're right that it does have one thing going against it, which is that it's about women from Fox News, and it poses these conservative women as the heroes against an unjust system, but that they're also a part of another system that is trying to routinely dismantle voting rights for minorities and immigrant rights and inflating the national military budget.
These women actively campaigned, like when they were reporting on stories of sexual harassment in the past, they were actively campaigning against the people who were claiming to be victims. So fuck these people. Like,
Wait, what were they doing? Against
when
they women?
When news stories came up of like sexual harassment in another industry or something, they were always the ones saying like, oh, boys will be boys, you know, like these claims, they're fruitless claims. They're just doing it for the attention.
Right.
Fuck and then these now women. That they, fuck yeah. everyone. Like, yeah, fuck this movie.
I understand your point a lot more clearly now. Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested.
I hope it's a bombshell of a box office performer.
Yeah, you got it. Well, it doesn't matter who else is nominated because Renee Zellweger is going to win for Judy, which I haven't seen.
What is this?
I hear it's not very good. It's her. It's a movie about Judy Garland. It's this year's The Wife. Renee Zellweger has never won an Oscar, but people like her and she's been in the industry forever and it's time. So it starts with this Golden Globe.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're going to see, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to see this movie. I hear it's not very good. I don't really care about Judy Garland.
Yeah, I'm sure that it has its audience. I'm sure that there are going to be fans. But I've also just never been that big of a Renee Zellweger fan.
She also sings all the songs in the movie as well.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
What's the best thing Renee Zellweger has been in?
Cinderella Man.
Oh wow,
Chicago.
Okay, yeah, Chicago's good.
Jerry Maguire. She's been in famous stuff.
She has been in famous stuff, but yeah, I guess I just never paid much attention to her.
And Bridget Jones's Diary. Fault.
I mean, I knew that, but I don't know what that movie's actually about. I kind of just
me either
chalked up to like standard rom com bullshit.
Yeah, so I think that's the general narrative going into this, and the fact that she got nominated here is a good testament to that, I believe. But I guess we'll have to wait and see when the Oscar noms come out.
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe she won't even get nominated. I doubt it, though. But all right, best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Got Christian Bale for Ford versus Ferrari, which is fine. He did good. He was very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, but I think he played the character well. But I don't think he's going to win.
Correct. Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, which I have not seen, but I really want to see.
Yeah, I've heard it's great.
Yeah. Adam Driver for Marriage Story. I hear he is really the performance like to behold in the movie.
Yeah, I've seen the meme clip of his breakdown, which is very good.
Right. It's very good. But also the memes have ruined it. Like, I haven't even seen it.
The memes are fantastic, though.
Yeah, it's great.
But we know who the winner is here.
Right, it's going to be Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. Yeah. Probably. Do we think this is it?
I think this is, if I were a betting man, this is where I'd put my chips.
Yeah, unless they could, sometimes they'll randomly go different and they'll do painting. They might do like Antonio Banderas, give him like, you know, the older dude award.
The minority award.
Yeah, no, but he's white.
Yeah, I know he is. I actually just learned that recently. I saw someone on Twitter like giving some journalists shit because they're like, hey, don't classify Antonio Banderas as a person of color. He's white. I'm just like, yeah, you could have fooled me.
That's the face of the colonizers. Yeah.
Like, dude, that motherfucker was in Spy Kids. He looked.
Yeah, exactly. So he's straddling the big gray area there.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Pryce for the two popes. So I think Phoenix, and I think this is really.
I think this is Phoenix and Driver's game.
Yeah. But I think if that's the game, then I think Phoenix wins. But agreed. I think Antonio Banderas can maybe come from behind. He would be the surprise.
Jonathan Pryce would be the surprise out of fucking nowhere.
But I don't think Jonathan Pryce and Christian Bale are out. I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah. I haven't seen Pain and Glory, so I don't actually know. I can't really make a good judgment call.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, the fact that the Joker lives on Phoenix's performance alone is
true.
And the fact that everybody's like, oh yeah, he's a shoo-in for the Oscar.
Yeah. And the foreign press loved it as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They gave it the Golden Lion.
Right. So I'm like, I'm excited. I'm interested. We wait with bated breath.
Yes.
Then we've got best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical or comedy. Shout out to Awkwafina for getting it for The Farewell, which I haven't seen yet.
Ooh, it's great.
I really want to. Yeah, I've heard nothing but amazing things.
Yeah.
I fucked up. Cate Blanchett for Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Surprising. Which apparently is not very good.
Yeah.
It's very surprised to see that.
Then again, this is the comedy section.
It is, yeah. Comedy or musical. Ana de Armas for Knives Out, which is good. I like that. I like her getting some recognition.
Yeah.
And then Beanie Feldstein for Booksmart.
Is that Jonah Hill's little sister?
Correct.
Okay. Sure.
So, sure. And then Emma Thompson for Late Night. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say this might be Awkwafina or Ana de Armas.
I think Awkwafina.
That would be
too.
My guess.
I do think The Farewell was the most critically lauded of this group. I also think I haven't seen Late Night or Where'd You Go, Bernadette, but I'm assuming that they just put those in there because they needed to fill some slots. But yeah, Awkwafina fucking kills it in The Farewell. And it's great because I'm really like, I wasn't a big Awkwafina fan before seeing this movie, but seeing that she can actually act and act well, and that she can talk without doing her like weird racist black voice is super refreshing. And I hope that this means that she's going to stop doing her fucking shtick for the rest of time, because holy hell, is it annoying and kind of offensive.
Yeah. I haven't really thought about it a whole lot. I've only seen her in Crazy Rich Asians. That is.
I hate it.
And I guess Ocean's 8.
She was the worst part of Crazy Rich Asians.
I thought she was funny. I enjoyed her, actually.
I think it's just because you're white, Dan.
It could very well be. I assume that most of the things I do are because I am white. Like, eat potatoes. I'm a big potato guy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that has definitely influenced the melanin?
Yeah, it's a...
in my skin.
You fucking leprechaun.
Yeah. Speaking of leprechauns, best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy.
Daniel Craig
for Knives Out and Little Leprechaun Boy. Roman Griffin Davis, who plays the little boy in Jojo Rabbit. That's a surprise.
That is surprising. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was that amazing either. But I think they're kind of giving it to him because, like, as a child, not giving a bad performance is like an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, exactly. He's it's a big degree of difficulty for that one.
Yeah.
And then Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Taron Egerton for Rocket Man, and then Eddie Murphy for Dolomite Is My Name. So do you think it's going to be, I think it's a toss up between Leo and Eddie Murphy.
I could see that being the most realistic outcome, but in my heart, I want Taron Egerton to win.
Because, oh yeah, me too.
Boy, howdy, was he great!
Great job.
And
I liked
Eddie Murphy in Dolomite. You know, he was good.
Yeah,
but there's nothing about his performance that made me just like lean back in awe in the same way that like even DiCaprio's performance in Once Upon a Time was like good, but I don't think that it was groundbreaking. Like, I thought his performance in The Revenant was better,
Would you say the same thing after 8 whiskey sours, though?
8 goddamn whiskey sours. It's I'm not going to be mad if he wins the Golden Globe for his performance in Once Upon a Time. But I do think Taron Egerton should win. I think that he is the most deserving of this award.
Yeah, I think I would be happy seeing any of these people make it. I think it probably Leo or Taron would be my angle. But I haven't seen Dolomite Is My Name. I think this could very well go to Eddie Murphy just because
he's a legend.
He's working the room. Yeah, he's a legend. Yeah. And he famously didn't win an Oscar that one time.
Oh, for Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Have you ever seen Dreamgirls?
I haven't, but I've seen him not win an award for it.
Does he get up and leave?
No.
He just sits there and claps?
Yeah.
He's like a coward.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Best director. We got some good stuff here.
Yeah,
Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Very happy about that. Sam Mendes, 1917. Todd Phillips, the Joker. Just Joker. Drop the duh. Martin Scorsese, The Irishman, and Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is tough.
This is a beefy lineup.
This is 4 legends and 1 dude. I'm shooting for Bong Joon-ho, but I think Sam Mendes might have like the technicality. I mean, really everybody. Like, it's, you think they give it to Martin Scorsese?
No, because he's won enough.
But this could be like his last kind of like big hurrah.
This could be, you know, he could kill himself at the Golden Globes if he doesn't win this award. But I could realistically see it
going to Mendes. Ricky.
You get what you fucking deserve.
Yeah, so it could be.
I could see Sam Mendes
for the technicality of the movie. Scorsese, because he's a fucking legend. Bong Joon-ho, because he's the most exciting new filmmaker out of all these guys. Mm-hmm. And Tarantino, just because he did what it feels like he's been trying to do his entire fucking life.
Yeah. I mean, if Phillips wins, I'm just going to laugh and, like, you know, I'll clap along. I'll be happy because
I'll do a shot if Todd Phillips wins.
I'll do a shot. But the thing, if Phillips wins, it's going to make so many people mad, which is hilarious.
Which is almost better. Yeah.
Yeah. Because my favorite thing is watching, like, you know, real film Twitter have a fucking meltdown at Joker getting awards. Like, man, that discourse is giving me life. And the fact that, like, they are the reason people are still talking about Joker to this day.
Yeah.
Like,
they're all Russian bots. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Mendes is my bet.
Yeah, that would be. I would love Bong Joon-ho. I think this is actually maybe the toughest.
Honestly, I'll outside be happy. Of like any,
best
any of these,
supporting actor.
Yeah, any of these people winning, I'm happy with.
Oh, of course.
Like, there's no Bohemian Rhapsody situation in this awards season, thankfully.
I wish every year was like this. This is really just like anything could win.
Yeah.
But who knows? I bet they'll fuck it up somehow. Best screenplay, motion picture. Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story. Bong Joon-ho and Jin-Won Han for Parasite. Anthony McCarten, The Two Popes, Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Steve Zalian, The Irishman. Once again, would really like Bong Joon-ho to win, but I think this one might be Baumbach's.
Really? I was thinking Tarantino.
You think so? I think Baumbach might have this because I don't think Marriage Story is going to win anything else. I think it's going to...
I think it's a consolation prize. The best screenplay.
For something, and this is, he's been through this before. I don't think he's ever been nominated for Best Picture. I think he's been nominated for only
screenplay. I'm pretty sure he got screenplay or nominated for screenplay for the Meyerowitz stories as well.
Yeah.
Which is also great.
So, yeah. I mean, I think this might be, he either wins big or he wins just this.
Yeah.
I don't think he comes away with nothing.
That's a tough one. Again, I'll be pretty happy with any of these writers winning, but
right.
I do think that Tarantino is going to win just because I don't think Hollywood is going to win that many other awards. I'm kind of in the same boat as you with Marriage Story, but with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I think that
these are like old people who write for old people who live in California, in like LA.
Yeah, and they love seeing the city celebrated.
Right. And this is a very much a celebration of L.A. in a movie told by somebody who's been obsessed with L.A.
Yeah.
I think this could definitely play to Tarantino's advantage
for
sure.
It's La La Land by way of Tarantino.
It's La La Land, but they kill the Manson family.
Exactly. Which, oh man, I want to see them tap dance the Manson family to death. Give me La La Land 2. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Best foreign language film, The Farewell, which I haven't seen it, but is it foreign language? Would you consider it?
I guess it's probably like 60% foreign language. I guess it qualifies. It's kind of weird to see it on this list. I don't think it deserves to be. I think I would have rather seen it just in the standard categories, but I guess there is enough foreign language spoken to qualify.
Yeah, so who knows. Les Miserables, don't know what that is about. Never heard of it.
They're bringing back Tom Hooper's 2012 classic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a different thing.
Yeah, I think it's like an Amazon original.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a modern day retelling of Les Miserables.
Yeah, and then we've got Pain and Glory, Parasite, and Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I've heard Portrait of a Lady on Fire is phenomenal,
Same. But
I think it hurts it that there's so many other like famous like things that have gotten a lot of press on this list.
Yeah,
so I think Parasite might be the runaway with this, or maybe The Farewell.
I could see or Parasite winning. My pick of the movies, like, you know, I've only seen two of the movies on this list, but I think Parasite was pretty fucking great.
Yeah, I think Parasite is best picture material. Hopefully they realize it and pick it.
I hope so.
Yeah, because it deserves the best picture nomination for the Oscar. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's skip down a few. Let's just go to the best actress and the
best kids
supporting.
Film.
Yeah, best kids film, Frozen 2, who cares?
Nah, dude, How to Train Your Dragon should win, but I just love that Lion King is on this list. I think that's hilarious. Yeah.
Do we think Frozen 2 wins, or do we think Toy Story 4 wins?
Probably Toy Story 4.
If Lion King wins, I'll kill myself on live TV.
I'll do the same, but How to Train Your Dragon is what should win.
Yeah. So we've got back to important things. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. I don't know why they do it like this, but who cares? Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, this is the only nomination for Richard Jewell, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I've heard it's good, and I've heard that she is the best part of the movie.
We'll have to find out. Annette Bening, The Report. This is one of those, you know, she's been around for a long time. She's supposed to be pretty good. She plays Diane Feinstein in this movie.
Mm.
So should be interesting. Laura Dern, Marriage Story. Jennifer Lopez, Hustlers. And then Margot Robbie, Bombshell. I think Jennifer Lopez has got in the bag for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like Laura Dern is probably going to win.
Really? I just like the hype around Jennifer Lopez and this being like her like return to form. And
return to form. I didn't realize that she had that much of a form like beforehand, but I guess.
Me either. hey, she was in Selena. Which you haven't heard of.
I don't know who Selena is.
Yeah. And she's also performing at the Super Bowl this year.
J-Lo?
A week before the Oscars.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. I'll be curious to see if she actually gets an Oscar nomination.
I think she will. I think this is there's nobody who needs to be on this list that is not on it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is drama and comedy combined. So this is it. Is there anybody who is not here that you really think should be here?
I mean, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. But fuck, I would give it to like Jamie Lee Curtis and Knives Out over J-Lo and Hustlers.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen.
I know.
But still. And then we've got the most stacked category, probably besides best director, best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. You got Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes, Al Pacino, The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I guess Pesci.
I would like to see it just for the legacy. Joe came out of retirement for this. But I'd be, you know, happy with anyone winning this as well. I didn't realize that Tom Hanks played a supporting role in the movie with his fucking face on the poster and only his face on the poster.
Yeah, no, Matthew Rhys,
he plays the journalist.
The Americans. Yeah, he plays the journalist. Mm-hmm. It's actually about him, because apparently he had a very cantankerous relationship with his interview subjects that he would really like try to figure out, like, what's the deal with this guy? Yeah.
Okay.
And then, but that's the story of the movie, is his interactions with Mr. Rogers.
And realizing that Mr. Rogers has no demons.
Right.
I do want to see this movie. I hear it's great.
Yeah, I hear it's really good too. I want to see all, I mean, even just seeing The Irishman and Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Any of those people could win. I think, honestly, those three probably like some of the best performances of their career.
Uh-huh.
Brad Pitt, I would say for sure. That's, like, that and Moneyball, maybe, like.
So here, you know what is really fucking me up? The fact that
what?
Brad Pitt is getting, like, he was totally fine in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There was no love for his performance in Ad Astra, which I think is so, like, it's echelons better than his performance in Once Upon a Time. Like, his performance in Ad Astra should be getting him an Oscar nomination.
Yeah. For the pure form of acting.
Yeah.
But that's what this movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, this whole role is about transcending. There's something else than acting going on here that we're all not
there's
talking
some
about.
Black magic.
Yeah, there is. It is some kind of, like, and I think that's what makes the performance so amazing, is that there is some crazy level of charisma that you don't even know what's happening. You're like, yeah, he's acting fine, he's doing good, but what the, why do I want to keep looking at him? Like, yeah,
why do I want to fuck him all of a sudden? Like,
dude's 50 and he's got six pack abs. Yeah. What is that? That's insane.
Fix my roof, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, fix my roof any day. But yeah, so I think that it's probably, but I think Pesci probably for this.
Yeah.
If it's not Brad Pitt, like, it, so
you,
this could
you,
be
you
one of
Pesci,
those moments.
You think Pesci over Pacino?
I think if it's Pacino, it's Pitt over Pacino.
But you think it's Pesci over Pitt?
I think it's Pesci over all of them. Yeah.
Okay.
But if they're like, hey, we don't get that this is like a subtle performance and we didn't want to watch like a 3.5 hour long movie, I think that could definitely hold up a lot of that. That I think more people probably have seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Had a wide release. Tarantino didn't come out.
Although that was
when
also
anything else
like
was coming out.
Almost 3 hours. That was like 2:45.
Right. Yeah. But there's a big difference between 2:45 and 3.5.
Yeah. True.
You know, that's like, oh, wow, this movie's long. And what? There's another 45 minutes.
That's true.
A whole different ballgame. If I started watching The Irishman right now, I'd be up all night.
You'd be up until midnight and a half. That's true. You'd be pretty close if you watched Once Upon a Time as well.
True, exactly. But overall, I think this is a pretty decent list. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch The Ceremony.
Yeah, I think the most upset I'm going to get at anything on this list is probably Bombshell. And I haven't even seen that movie yet. I just fucking hate its existence. I hate its conceit.
I think we are all going to have at least like a few categories. We're just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
What? The kid from Jojo Rabbit over Leo?
Honestly, I would like to see that just to see Leo's ego take a hit.
I don't think he has. I mean, it's if whether or not the Hollywood Foreign Press thinks he's like one of the best actors of all time. Like, we know, like, he's been on one of the best runs
of
all
time.
He's
got his Oscar now.
Right.
So who gives a shit? He made it.
Yeah. Not even just the Oscar. Like, some people have Oscars who we don't fucking know anything about.
Also, they're all, Leo they're all on, rich elites. Like, I don't actually care.
Yeah. They're all dead. They're all dead. They're, it's like, let's the Leo run from After the Beach, Catch Me If You Can, Gangs of New York, The Aviator, The Departed, Blood Diamond, Body of Lies, Revolutionary Road, Shutter Island, Inception, and then J. Edgar, Django Unchained, Great Gatsby, Wolf of Wall Street, The Revenant.
Yeah, I mean, he's got an amazing run. And
yeah.
Yeah, the two worst movies are Gatsby and, J. Edgar.
Right.
Those were 7 years ago, 7 to 9 years ago.
Yeah, dude kills it.
Absolutely. All right. Not trying to hate on Leo, but he's a rich elite. We should eat the rich.
Exactly. Speaking of murder, we're going to be talking about The Irishman. It's now streaming on Netflix for all its viewing glory. The awards just came out and it picked up quite a few nominations. I think it's a good time that we finally discuss Martin Scorsese's gangster epic. That is long. It's his longest movie ever by about a half an hour.
Is this his magnum opus?
It is definitely, yes, that. I mean, like, how do you even make that determination when he's had so many amazing, like, he's been on a run like Leo, like, just so many amazing movies that are built into the social consciousness of all movies. It's crazy.
Yeah.
This movie is pretty amazing, pretty sensational. It is not too long. I think really the only bad things I could say about it is that sometimes the de-aging, like, you can't de-age bone structure. And that sometimes they're just like smooth, but you can tell that they're still like old.
Yeah. And also, I think any of any scenes that take place in the past that require a more physical performance is when it becomes a lot more like painfully evident that these are like 70-year-old men trying to act like they're men in their 30s or something. And the scene that really sticks out to me is when he beats up that like butcher.
The grocer or whatever.
Yeah. And, oh God, that looked bad.
He looks so old.
Yeah, that was awful.
Only underscored by like how brutal the beatdown was.
Yeah.
Like the camera just holding down on a boot coming down across somebody's hand and oh God.
Yeah. But it's still just like you can tell that he's like missing the kicks. Like thankfully the grocer was selling it pretty well.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, like there is not much to complain about this movie. This movie's fantastic.
Oh yeah, and especially it does not feel very long. It really, like, the last 2.5 hours really fly by, which is interesting to say. Like the first hour, it's kind of set everything up, and you're like, oh, okay, and then it really kicks off as soon as Al Pacino shows up as Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah,
what a great performance! So just one of those like look, it's like a look at me performance, but I'm not upset about it. It's just like I'll be doing the craziest stuff. I'm taking up to 10.
Yeah, I am
in the
Jimmy
best
Hoffa.
Way possible. I am Jimmy Hoffa. It's also got De Niro in like a pretty decent role. I feel like his acting chops don't really come out a whole lot until the very end, but he does pretty good throughout.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he really shows his acting gusto when he's having to deal with the internal conflict of like, oh, they're going to make me kill Jimmy. Like,
yeah.
This is what's happening. And the third act, I think, is what really makes this movie. And just seeing seeing this whole man's life of regret really come to, it's his end game. You know, this is the point where he can never come back from because he's killing what is arguably his best friend.
Right. And in favor of a father figure.
Yeah.
In Joe Pesci, who's also killing it. But he's doing the opposite of what he did in Goodfellas. He's playing it so like down tempo and just chill.
Yeah, so restrained. But Joe Pesci's performance is so good. And just the amount of information and emotion you get from Joe Pesci and his character in just the scenes where he's interacting with Frank's daughters. And just seeing him just die a little bit inside every time Frank's daughters just kind of like recoil from him and like think that like, oh, he's just like creepy. He's an old man. And then later on, they learned that he's a mobster who likes to kill people. And they just become even more distant. And he just becomes like more and more disgusted with himself. And goddamn, I love those scenes where he's just watching the daughters dance with like Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah,
and just yearning for that type of connection with another person. Like, oh man, Pesci, you're killing it. I'm glad you came out of retirement for this.
God, he's so good. Everything about it is really good. The homages to Scorsese's earlier work as well are always there in a few choice camera angles at certain points in the movie. But it's really so intricately told. It's funny too. Like it's not like dour.
Yeah,
and
no, it's
depressing,
entertaining. Like legitimately entertaining throughout. And I think that's something that Scorsese's always excelled at. You know, even in his darkest, driest films, like there's still like a beat to the movie.
Right. There is like a sense of absurdity and in humor. I think this movie would really benefit if people just like turned it on.
Yeah.
It would they'd be like, oh, I'll just like as soon as it gets boring, I'll stop watching.
Yeah. I think Netflix should hide the runtime on the title card of this movie.
I bet they're trying. Like, honestly, and there's all the memes going around about like, here's like if you want to split it up into four parts, just like Saturday, sit down at noon, get yourself a sandwich, pour yourself a beer, and just watch it all the way through, and you will be better for it.
Get comfortable and then watch the movie. You know, take a smoke break if you have to. I know I did.
Right.
There are definitely a couple scenes after a character lights up a cigarette, and I'm like, oh, that's a good. Yeah, that's a good pause time. I want a cigarette too. And thankfully, that's the benefit of being able to watch a movie like this on Netflix, is you can pace it yourself. If you like, I'm not going to harp on anybody if they do watch it as a miniseries, because I think that this does work as like a Tarantino-esque miniseries. You know, the stuff that he's doing, like he did for The Hateful Eight on Netflix, and that he's going to do for Once Upon a Time, just break it up into like 4 or 6 episodes. You could totally do that for this movie as well.
Yeah, and I think it would still work. And honestly, when I saw it in the theaters, people were just like, well, it's 3.5 hours. The minute I have to go to the bathroom, I will be going to the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of movement in the theater throughout.
There's no point in holding it when the movie's that long. And the best part is oh, you can just go watch it on Netflix. Just watch whatever part you missed after you get out of the theater.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I had no problem going to the bathroom because I know, like, I'll have this for free later. Like,
yeah, I actually kind of want this movie to usher in a new era of, like, you know, like Zack Snyder's new movie is coming out on Netflix. I hope it's a 3-hour-long zombie movie because you can just pause and take a break whenever you need to. But
yeah, I wonder if it's because, I mean, that's essentially like Stranger Things, like. The end of an episode of Stranger Things is there's no like natural ending.
Yeah,
it's just like
because they're filmed as like they're filmed as an 8-hour movie.
Right. It's all sequentially. The episodes don't really have they have kind of like a beginning and an end, but they're definitely made to be played as one unit.
Yeah, they're meant to be binge watched. Actually, I think it'd be cool if Netflix started put out miniseries like that, and they gave you the option like watch episode 1, 2, 3, or 4, or just like watch as a movie, like just watch the whole fucking thing, no credit breaks, no anything, just if you've got the time you can just watch this all in one sitting.
Yeah, that, like binge mode, they actually have like a real binge mode where it's like not ask me if I'm done.
I can't believe they haven't done that yet.
I mean it's gotta be the next I don't know what goes into any kind of product development at Netflix, like how they decide new features. It seems like it's pretty random,
but Netflix, I will help out. I know you're listening, CEO of Netflix.
Yeah, sign me up. This is almost like a very like hard movie to even recommend or review. It's just like, you have it for free. Go see it. Like, put it on.
Yeah, I think
watch it in any way you can. You know, there's so many amazing things about it.
If there are people who dislike Scorsese films, and I know that there are those people out there, you know, I don't think this movie is going to be the movie to change their mind. But I think most people like most Scorsese films, and I think this is an easy recommendation to any of those people. Like, if you've seen any other Scorsese film and you've liked it, you're gonna like this.
Yeah, I think definitely a good prior viewing would be Goodfellas and Casino.
Yeah,
those would be the similar level. But I mean, he's got so many like amazing movies, and the fact that you can see even one for free right now.
Yeah.
If you have Netflix, go do it.
Feel a bit like his. It feels like his most introspective film.
100%.
I think maybe this and Silence. I think that they both actually work pretty well together. In terms of their, just thematic structure. But I love how this movie ends. It is so satisfying and so
satisfying, meditative, beautiful,
sad,
sad. It really has it all. I can't really recommend this movie enough. It is like, it's one of my favorites of, it's hard to judge in your favorites, because I feel like this, I was such a rewarding experience to watch. You know, I think it's one of Scorsese's best. I think it helps like knowing the background of some of the gangster movies that he's made, and knowing the outer context of like all these old guys, like, you know, Marty's getting he's up there. He's like in his late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
It would not be weird for him to die.
Yeah. This is one of the last things that he clearly wanted to say about just like, I think in part his entire filmography before he dies. Just this idea that like, hey, maybe it's actually not that cool to pretend to be like a fucking gangster.
Yeah, maybe it's bad.
Yeah,
I think that's
I'm posing a question.
Yeah, I really hope he's able to make another movie.
Yeah, The Irishman.
I hope he's able to make like another 10 years of movies.
I think he will. I mean, hey, look at Clint Eastwood. He's still fucking kicking. He's in his 90s.
Makes like a movie every year.
That's how he stays alive, man. As soon as he stops honestly, making movies, he's going to die.
Yeah, and I think Scorsese's got quite a few things in the pipeline. So yeah,
hopefully Hugo. Looking forward to the give me Hugo too.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Electric cute Hugaloo.
Hell yeah. All right. What are we gonna watch next week, Rob?
We got options. What's coming up? We got choices,
we got options.
Fuck, there's so many things. Definitely not Bombshell, I'll tell you what. But we got Jumanji, which seems like a great way to pass the time. Richard Jewell seems very interesting as well. And then Uncut Gems, although I think that is only limited. I don't know when the wide release is coming out.
Yeah, I think it's Christmas Day, I believe.
That's the only Christmas present I want.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Uncut Gems. I think that might be like my most excited for.
So I wonder, did it not get any Golden Globe nominations because they just didn't screen it for critics? Like, did it not make the Golden Globe cutoff? Or does the Hollywood foreign press just hate the Safdie brothers?
I guess they just hate the Safdie brothers. Ugh. Yeah, it's always weird because there's always like a late like movie that just doesn't get like any love, or like a really early movie that you're like, this should be it, right?
Yeah.
And I guess this is not one of them.
I mean, Good Time was the same thing. Like, Good Time got no awards attention, which is a shame.
No love.
Because Good Time is fucking great.
Yeah. So I'm still very excited to see this movie, but I guess we will have to see. Yeah,
we have options. And then the week after this, we got, you know, Star Wars. We got Cats.
Cats is going to make $0. Like, this will be the first time in history where like the opening box office is $0.
Yeah, Cats is going to make $13 from you and $13 from me.
I'm not going to see fucking Cats. I am not seeing this movie.
You have to see Cats.
No,
it was in the contract. I wrote it in the contract when we signed on to do Green Gangles.
I'm going to have my lawyer look at that contract because Cats looks like hot garbage.
I call it the Jellicle Clause.
Yeah, it's going up against Star Wars as counter programming. Yeah, what do you think the most a movie has made when the movie in front of it made over $200 million?
Yeah, you know, the last movie that did this? Assassin's Creed.
What? Oh, really? What did Assassin's Creed do? It came out
the same
time as Star Wars?
I think it came out the same weekend as Star Wars.
Dumb.
Awful.
Yeah, the people who like Star Wars don't like video games? What are you
I want to know how much coke the executives were on when they decided that this was a good release like window.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think they're just like, this has got to be like some kind of tax scheme.
I hope so.
Like, I bet it didn't cost $300 million to make.
I fucking hope so.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to exist in the world where this was all people who are bosses, people who are in charge of other people and pay taxes sometimes. God,
give me the 15-page expose in like 10 years of how Cats was a fucking money laundering scheme or tax evasion ploy
by the Saudi government. Yeah. Like, we'll make the Cats mini. Why?
Yeah. How can we make sure animation. It costs more? Digital fur technology.
Digital fur technology. I'm so absolutely terrified. Yeah. All right. Well, I've been Dan Leo. You can follow me on Twitter at The Dan Leo Show and follow the podcast at Viewing Angles.
Yeah.
We're on everything.
We tweet occasionally.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a Letterboxd. D. Leo. What about you, Rob?
Follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Robert Jr. Jr. I stay up to date. I'm a current boy.
So current. All right. We'll catch you next week, Ducks.
Cats news.
But until then, for Cats news.
Bye.